So, good morning. My name is Bruce, and I'm going to be sharing from Philippians 1 and then from Philippians chapter 4. So, obviously, you can turn to Philippians chapter 1. And the goal isn't so much to do teaching, though there'll be teaching, right? But for the day, I'm saying. But the thought is to try to really encourage us as men of God to enjoy fellowship with each other. And the drive of it from Philippians is fellowship in the work of God, like that we have the privilege of furthering the gospel of Christ together. If you think about the book of Philippians, and probably most of you have some familiarity with it, there were some problems going on with the Philippians, right? Such that, and I'm stealing from the later message, remember in chapter 4 he says, I exhort Euodia and I exhort Syntyche to be of one mind in the Lord, right? They've labored together with me in the gospel. Help them get along with each other, right? That's kind of the essence, right? And so as we even start the book of Philippians, we're going to see Paul, as led by the Holy Spirit, really trying to encourage this idea of fellowship in furthering the gospel together. Because there can be a little bit of struggle that happens between people that are trying to further the gospel together. I'm going to use, since we're at a camp setting here, just a camp illustration. Perhaps you've helped with camp for a week before. So when you're at camp and you're trying to further the gospel of Christ together, you're not getting the same amount of sleep you normally do. You're doing things you don't normally do. You're interacting with people you don't normally interact with, maybe children that you're not used to in your life, right? And so all of it can be a little bit, as we say these days, stressful, right? I try not to use that expression too much because I think it's overused. Everybody's stressed, you know? But it can be hard and challenging, and then we can start getting weary and, believe it or not, maybe even irritable. At least I do. Maybe you don't, right? And then we might get agitated with other people because we think they're not doing their part or they're not doing it the right way or whatever. And so then we start to kind of get at odds, and here they're like our co-laborers, right? They're the ones that we're here trying to run a camp ministry to get the gospel to boys or to girls. And then we start to get like bothered with each other because of how they're doing things or not doing things, perhaps. Anybody identify with that? Maybe not in a camp setting, but maybe in some other settings. Maybe in marriage, maybe in an assembly, right? That you could start to get irritated with one another. That's a little bit of the setting of Philippians. Right? A little bit of getting irritated with each other. And so Paul, as led by the Holy Spirit, praise the Lord. What a blessing to have the book of Philippians. I hope all of you agree that the book of Philippians is a very encouraging book. It really is. It's very refreshing. It helps kind of get our brain back to where it needs to be, our hearts back to where it kind of should be. And we have some awesome verses like, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain in Philippians. But they're in a context of Paul's aiming for a particular thing. And I see, as led by the Holy Spirit, we have to do this with one another sometimes. Sometimes you don't like just come out and like say your point first. You might have something in your back of your mind, right? But you really want to kind of build up to it in a good sense. Like build up to it in like we're together in this, right? There is something kind of corrective-ish I need to say, but I really want to do it in the context of we're friends, you know? We have fellowship with each other. We love one another. I'd like to have it be in that. So Paul, I see him doing that, especially in chapter 1. He is reminding them about how great it has been to be in the fellowship of the gospel with one another personally. After all, Paul had come to Philippi with the gospel, right? These people knew Paul personally, had heard the gospel personally from Paul, got saved through the gospel, had seen the trouble of it. Remember, Paul gets thrown in prison, Acts 16, where we get that great verse, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, is in the situation in Philippi. And so Lydia gets saved and the jailer gets saved. And there's this eclectic gathering of Christians in Philippi. Eventually, Euodia and Syntyche, apparently, get saved. And Paul draws their hearts out, if you will, in how he writes the first chapter to remind them of this great fellowship we've enjoyed together in furthering the gospel together. And his goal is going to be to kind of draw their hearts back to that, like remember how great it is to labor in the gospel together. You kind of sort of forgotten it. You've got kind of your focus in the wrong place as you're going on. And that can happen, right? Over time, we can get our focus in the wrong place. All right, so let's read from Philippians 1. Listen to Paul as he kind of talks about this, especially these first verses straight out. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who were in Philippi, including the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all, in view of your participation, your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. It's been great, this fellowship we've had in the gospel from the first day when I came there and shared the gospel with you until now. See, they didn't just get saved. They got saved and they got eternal life and they were in. So much so that he says in chapter 4 that, you know, other people haven't really been alert to this, but you were alert to giving to me because I was carrying the gospel to your neighboring city, Thessalonica. And you were like, yes, do it. Go, go, go. Right? Enthusiastic about the gospel going forward. You've been participants with me in the gospel from the first day until now. In fact, yeah, that's true. And Joe will talk about it later. But Epaphroditus comes to Paul from the Philippians to minister to Paul. They were in together. There was a fellowship they enjoyed with one another in the gospel. He says, verse 6, for I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work among you will complete it by the day of Christ Jesus. For it is only right for me to feel this way about you all because I have you in my heart. What a great thing. I have you in my heart, since both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of grace with me. I hear this heart of a man that really loves the people he's writing to. I have you in my heart. And it wasn't just like, I'm going to decide to love these people that aren't very lovable. That's an appropriate thing sometimes, right? But they really had phileo love, didn't they? Like, they loved each other. They enjoyed fellowship with each other. There was an affection for one another because they'd been participants in the gospel together. He says, you've been partakers of grace with me. And I think in this context, he's talking about the grace of God to help in the struggle of the gospel. Now, that's a good thing, right? Now, we were describing camp ministry, and maybe that you can get weary and tired and agitated and then at odds with each other. There is the other side of camp ministry, right? I hope we've known this other side, and mostly known this other side, is that there's a great fellowship in it. Yeah, you're working hard together. Yeah, you're worn out together. But wow, Johnny got saved. We were part of that together, and the Lord helped us. He gave us strength when we were tired. He helped us persist in the gospel. And so there's a camaraderie that's unparalleled when you labor together with other people. It doesn't have to be just in camp ministry, right? But in the gospel in particular, if we labor together with one another in the gospel. So he says, verse 8, for God is my witness how I long for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this I pray, and Josh is going to speak to these verses, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, so you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and blameless for the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness, which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. What a desire he had for their spiritual well-being and overflowing well-being. But I'm going to leave that for Josh to speak to. Look at verse 12. Now, I want you to know, brothers, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well-known throughout the Praetorian Guard and to everyone else, and that most of the brothers trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. Some, to be sure, are preaching Christ even from envy and strife, but some also from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I'm appointed for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, rather than from pure motives, thinking that they will cause me distress in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in this I rejoice. But not only that, I also will rejoice, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that I will not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness, Christ will even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I'm to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which to choose. But I am hard-pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. Yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sakes. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that your pride, your confidence in Christ Jesus may be abundant because of me by my coming to you again. Let's think a little bit about these verses. A first point, and I only am using a little bit of slides here on purpose. Our first point is this, and these are practical encouragements, communicate about the gospel advancing. All right, so verse 12 is a little bit crazy. Paul, imprisoned in some manner, he's imprisoned, he's at least hindered, hemmed in, maybe he was under house arrest, but he was imprisoned, he uses that term. He says, guys, this has worked out so great. Right? Isn't that what he says? I mean, he didn't say it in those terms. He didn't use the word guys, right? But brothers, I want you to know that the way the Lord has worked this out, me getting in prison, is actually worked out to advance the gospel. Isn't that awesome? That's the error of his statement to them. What an attractive way to think, isn't it? I was meditating on Philippians in 2020. There were some kind of social things that were happening in 2020. I don't know if you remember that year. It was a little bit weird of a year. In fact, everybody was kind of hemmed in, weren't they? We were kind of all imprisoned in a weird kind of way. It might have been house arrest, if you will, right? And I'm reading these verses, and I'm listening to Paul, and I'm thinking, Lord, help me have that spirit that if I'm under house arrest, I'd love to see it somehow be used to advance the gospel. Usually what we do is we fight and we get agitated. And in fact, there were some people around that figured that's the way Paul was thinking. I gotta get out there and preach the gospel. And so they kind of tried to work that because they were selfish ambition driven, right? And they're like, we're going to go out and preach the gospel, make sure Paul knows about it. So it irritates him that he can't be out preaching the gospel. Talk about bad attitude, right? That we're going to preach the gospel with a bad attitude. And apparently that's possible, right? To have a competitive spirit. That I'm going to be out and people are going to know me better than they know other people. And Paul, it doesn't work with him. Why doesn't it work with him? Well, because he didn't have selfish ambition. Because his thoughts weren't about himself at all. It didn't matter to him at all whether he was the one preaching or somebody else was preaching. As long as they were preaching Christ. Praise the Lord. He says, I rejoice that Christ is preached. And in fact, I will rejoice. I'm determined to rejoice that Christ is preached. Let's think a little bit. We'll think a little bit more about that in a minute. But let's just think about this idea of verse 12. And I just want to be practical in this idea. I'd love to see the work of God, the gospel of Christ, go forward in a wonderful way in the days ahead. Amen? I hope you agree with that. I'd love to see the gospel of Christ go forward more than we've realized it in the last 40 years in the Mid-Atlantic. Of all the crazy places for the gospel to go forward, the northeast of the United States. That's where the Lord's placed us, though. So, one of the things I observe about the gospel going forward is people talking about the gospel going forward. You follow that? Like Paul, I should use the whiteboard. So there's no markers over there. Okay, so you're going to have to visualize it. Paul tells the Philippians about the gospel going forward through his getting in prison. He's not just telling them about that so that they can pray for him. That's a good thing to do. He's telling them about that to inspire them. Do you agree? That's why he took the time to write it. He really was trying to inspire them that, listen, the Lord is at work in furthering the gospel even through me being put in prison. I'd love for you to be happy about that, to rejoice in that. In fact, I know you will, because we've done this together before. We've gone forward with the gospel, and you love it. And I do too. And there's fellowship in that, in the gospel going forward. And so he talks about it. He talks about the gospel going forward. He talks about it going forward. And in fact, he tells the people in Philippi about people in Rome that had got inspired to go forward with the gospel. That's verse 14. Most of the brothers trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. So Paul's enthusiasm in the gospel inspired people in Rome to go forward with the gospel. And Paul's using that to inspire the Philippians to go forward with the gospel. Perhaps we need to communicate more. It's a practical challenge about opportunities the Lord gives in forwarding the gospel. As an inspiration, if you will, to one another. Definitely in our local assemblies. I love it in our assembly in Kecksburg. When I hear someone talk about they were, you know, at the barber and got to talk to the barber about the gospel, right? Isn't that the atmosphere we want to have in our assembly? Like that I was on the bus and got to talk to somebody about the gospel. This should be like the normal life of Christians, is that wherever we go, we're looking for opportunities to speak of Christ to people, you know? But don't just do it. Tell other believers about it, is what I'm telling you from Philippians 1, right? So what I'm seeing in Paul is he's telling other believers about it. Telling other believers about, wow, look at the Lord is at work advancing his gospel. Praise the Lord. And using it to try to inspire them forward. Encouraging reports of the gospel going forward. Even in difficult circumstances. Certainly we could take that as a practical challenge too. Right? Am I active in that? Like, am I an example that people would want to imitate? Because they can see in my life that I just look for opportunities to forward the gospel. Maybe I make opportunities, if you will. I don't know. Like, Paul was in prison and we wouldn't think of that as like the prime opportunity, right? To forward the gospel. And yet Paul gets in that situation and he's thinking, Lord, how can this forward the gospel? It's like his only question. All right, here we are. Some guards here. They're a captive audience. Let's talk about Christ. Right? I don't know, look for opportunities to bring the Lord into the conversation. And apparently some of them have gotten saved. Awesome, right? Unique opportunity. Like if he had just been in the marketplace, he probably wouldn't have interacted with them at all. Now this is super challenging. As we go through life, there are circumstances that arise, be they COVID or be they personal things. There's circumstances that arise. And I know in my own mind, in my own heart, I have things I'd like to do, even good things, like forwarding the gospel. And I can get frustrated. Has anybody ever been frustrated? And I can fret. This is not going the way it's supposed to go. For a good thing, for the forwarding the gospel, not for my getting rich or something. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about for a good thing. And so I can respond to circumstances with frustration. And I don't see that in Paul here, do you? I don't see him frustrated. Why? How did he like maintain that? Well, he didn't even get frustrated from other people being competitive in their spirit. One thing with competition is it can spur the other party to be competitive, right? Paul didn't fall in with that. They're going to be competitive. I'm not going to be competitive. That's not how I think about what we're here for. I'm going to rejoice at the gospel going forward, even if they were doing it with a bad attitude. What we're not talking about is false doctrine, right? Other places, Paul would talk about false doctrine very severely. These people were faithfully preaching the gospel. They were doing it with a bad attitude. They were kind of trying to get attention for themselves. And Paul's like, well, that's not great, but the gospel's going forward. And I'm going to rejoice in that. I'm going to rejoice in it even though I'd love to be out there preaching the gospel myself. Where does he get this freedom from frustration, though? Well, he says, verse 18, only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed. And in this, I rejoice. In this, I rejoice. Christ is proclaimed. A single focus, a single goal, a single desire is the key to not being frustrated. Christ is preached. A single focus that says, Lord, if you put me in prison, and it's an opportunity for the gospel to go forward, that's a win. maybe I thought I'd be doing this, but I'm doing this. Praise the Lord. The gospel went forward. Christ was proclaimed. And I hope we've known this a little bit in our lives. I've known it by observation for sure. I think of Bea Geiger. I don't know how old she was, 90 or something. She had to go in for hip surgery. And she's like bubbling over with, this has been so great. In here for 3 weeks. I got to talk to all the nurses. Yeah, what a great way to think, right? That okay, the Lord wants to move his servant into a new location to talk to somebody else about the Lord. You see the freedom that comes with that? I don't need to get frustrated if I actually believe that God is sovereign and he's at work and I'm his servant. And he can put me wherever he wants, including whatever circumstances he wants, including circumstances that seem to hem me in, seem to limit my ability to be able to serve him. Maybe that's for the better. Maybe he wants me to talk to these two people instead of the 200. Praise the Lord. That's what he thinks. I will rejoice. Christ is proclaimed. Christ is going forward. He goes on to say, and not only that, I will rejoice. I understand that as a statement of determination. I've decided that I will rejoice in Christ being preached, no matter what that means for me. As long as Christ is going forward, that's all that matters. It's the only single thing that matters. He goes on to say, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance. Again, I'd love for your thoughts on this. This is what I understand the flow of thought to be. I know that this way of thinking, with having Christ as my single focus, Christ being magnified as my only goal, that will turn out for my deliverance, my personal deliverance, through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So the Spirit of God helping me to rejoice in Christ going forward, it has a deliverance on a personal level, a deliverance from distress, a deliverance from frustration, a deliverance from fretting, according to my eager expectation and hope that I will not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness, Christ will even now as always be exalted, be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. So there's going to be this awesome salvation, deliverance, freedom that comes through the Spirit of God helping me as you pray for me to only care about Christ being magnified. If I can live that way, there's going to be freedom of spirit no matter what my circumstances are. As long as Christ is magnified, whether by life or by death, right? So it's not like I have to get out of prison, I have to get healthy again, whether by life or by death. If Christ is magnified, I'm satisfied. Now that's not coming natural, guys. That's coming by your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. How about that? So is it possible for you and I to live this then? It's not Paul superhero apostle. This is really the model for every Christian, that by the help of the Spirit of the Lord, that we can only care about is the Lord Jesus Christ being magnified. That's my one concern. What a beautiful freedom is in that. Do you see that freedom? people live for lots of different things, right? Josh was saying for his work, you know, they got leadership training and they have to have a life purpose. What's your life purpose? All right, here it is. Christ magnified. That's my life purpose. That's what Paul's saying, right? And what a wonderful way to live. Christ magnified. He says, for to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Like, if that's my only goal, dying is only like a step up, right? An improvement. Because I get Christ, right? But the Lord might want me to stay here to further his purposes. And in fact, I have the sense that he does want me to. Because it'll be an encouragement to you all. That's what the verses that follow say. Right? I'm going to be able to encourage you in your confidence in the Lord by my coming to you. Do you see how he's so free from any selfish interest? From any, like, I need, I want. It's all just whatever the Lord wants, that's what I want, as long as it magnifies Christ. That's my single goal. Here's an attempt to kind of summarize what I'm saying. I will rejoice. I'm determined to live this way, that there be this internal deliverance by the Spirit of God strengthening me to have magnifying Christ as my only object, my single object. I want the Lord to help me have to live that way, and that will enable victorious living above and through circumstances, as he had demonstrated. I'm in prison, and I'm not under the circumstances. I'm above them in the sense of living in fellowship with Christ, but I'm also like seeing the Lord work through them, right? I'm not just thinking about, oh, I'm going to live above this miserable circumstance I have being in prison. I'm actually living in the circumstances, but in a thriving, abounding kind of way. Because of this freedom of having one goal, Christ be magnified. The gospel go forward. Boy, if the gospel goes forward, I'm happy. Or I will rejoice. Right? If the gospel goes forward, I will rejoice. So, Christ being magnified, a single focus. This is my one goal. And it leads to a freedom of spirit. A freedom of spirit. Now look down at verse 27. Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. So again, all of this has to do with like the gospel going forward. Now he's coming around to the Philippians and saying, like, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. You have loved the gospel. You've labored in the gospel. You've struggled in the gospel. We've enjoyed fellowship in the gospel. I'm telling you, the gospel is going forward even in difficult circumstances for me. Be encouraged to go forward with the gospel. Live this way with Christ as your single focus, that you're, all you really care about is Christ being magnified. So do that together. Live that together, verse 27. So that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear about you, that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in no way alarmed by your opponents, which is a sign of destruction for them, but of salvation for you. And this too from God. For to you it has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer on his behalf, experiencing the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me. So the vision is of striving together. The vision, the image is of conflict. You're in a conflict to forward the gospel. You've heard about me being in a conflict to forward the gospel. You've seen me live in Philippi in the conflict to forward the gospel. Keep in it together. Strive together for the forwarding of the gospel. Single goal. I love to see people come to faith in the Lord Jesus for the glory of Christ. Strive together in it with one mind, with one spirit. Now, I think of this as an illustration. Maybe you won't, but this is what I think of as an illustration. And yes, it is the Eagles. And yes, it is Jason Kelce. But it's the offensive line in football. Maybe some of you have no interest in football at all, American football. But the offensive line in football are a little bit like this. Josh is smiling over there. He's thinking rugby. Okay. Fair enough. Right? There are a wall that works together. If one of them fails, the quarterback gets sacked and the play is ruined. All of them have to do their part. They're a wall working together. In fact, I grabbed this and the article was called A Band of Brothers. A Band of Brothers. Well, it is kind of important that those five guys, usually these five guys on the offensive line are like that, that there's a camaraderie among the offensive line, that they're not, you know, pointing out how the tackle's failing to do his job, you know? But maybe they're encouraging him to do his job, to pull his weight, right? To labor hard. Now, Paul probably didn't have this image in his mind. You agree with that? Yeah, there was no American football. So he probably had a little bit more of this image in mind in this conflict idea. This is a Greek phalanx, which the Romans had some similar warfare techniques. But there was a wall of warriors, of soldiers, with their shield and with their spears. And there was a line of them back behind them. And Alexander the Great conquered the world with the Greek phalanx. That these men would be a wall together with their shields, with their spears, and they just advance, and no one could stand in front of them. But if the wall started to divide, the whole thing comes apart. It hinges on being a wall. It hinges on cooperation. If we're not all laboring hard and working together and forwarding the gospel, this phalanx falls apart, right? You get a weak point, and because it's only got a front to it, really. It's really doesn't have a side to it. The side's in danger. So we got to maintain the front in the phalanx formation to forward the gospel. So may the Lord encourage us then with that thought in mind to really value fellow laborers. Like we might think of a phalanx or a battalion working together. Picture, you know, a group of soldiers taking a hill in World War II or something. How valuable is every soldier as they advance? How valuable? How we want to encourage my fellow soldiers then, because I really need them. I can't do it myself. There's no way. I really need my fellow soldiers to also be strong in the Lord, to also be encouraged, to also keep going forward with the gospel. So value them, value the camaraderie, urging each other to advance forward. How are we doing with that? You know, this is a little different than picking on each other, right? It's not a little different. It's very different. It's the complete opposite of looking for shortcomings in people. Instead, I'm looking for how can I encourage them? How can I remind them how wonderful the Lord Jesus is? How can I remind them how wonderful it is to be saved and the privilege of carrying the gospel forward? How can I refresh their spirits, maybe by even telling them about an opportunity, how the gospel went forward and someone got saved? Praise the Lord. They passed from death to life. They got eternal life. They're a completely different person. We need to talk about these things, don't we? We can forget how valuable the gospel is. I mean, it's a game changer. No, it's an eternity changer. But a person that comes to faith in Christ is not the same person. What is like that in the world? Is there anything parallel to that? There's not. There's nothing like it. What an amazing privilege then to be able to labor together, to forward the gospel, to struggle together, to forward the gospel of the Lord Jesus. The idea of having that single focus, that all I really care about is Christ being magnified, Christ being preached, is going to be key to the fellowship of the gospel, isn't it? If every soldier has his eyes on the goal, that'll really help them work together, won't it? They start to look at each other, that's probably not going to help them so much. But if they can keep their eyes on the goal, we want Christ magnified. And we have one united mind, one united purpose. I want Christ magnified. It's like they are united together then, right? Because their minds have united them together. Their spirit is united together in one goal, Christ being magnified. Well, may the Lord encourage us with that. Practically speaking, perhaps we want to be challenged and encouraged in communicating with other saints about the gospel advancing. Let's tell one another obviously we're not trying to brag about it. And I think sometimes we're reluctant to even talk about it because we're afraid it comes across as we're bragging. Well, may the Lord give us help to not brag, but may the Lord also give us help to talk about the Lord Jesus being glorified by the gospel going forward, to inspire each other forward like Paul did here. That, wow, God did a great work. Now that's part of the key to not bragging about it, right? Is that we're giving all the credit to God. Like we actually think that God's the one that saves people. Amen? I mean, he does. After all, we just have to be an instrument that he happens to use along the way. But the gospel is the thing that saves people. The work, God saves people. In fact, Paul emphasizes that early in chapter 1, that I'm confident that he who began a good work in you, right? It was God that saved the people in Philippi. Paul happened to be part of God at work. If I can keep in view that God's at work, I can keep encouraged then. I can keep right perspective. I can keep humble. I don't need the thing pride. But I do think we need encouragement in communicating more about how the Lord is working to advance the gospel. Maybe we need some refreshment in that, a renewed focus on. We really want to be people that love the Lord Jesus and long to see him magnified by the gospel of Christ being proclaimed by the power of God. Amen? Amen? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the encouragement that comes from it. And we pray that even this day we might be able to be a blessing to one another in the fellowship of the gospel. That we might think of one another as fellow soldiers, fellow strugglers in the work of God, putting out effort to forward God's gospel. So encouraging each other, loving one another, valuing one another. Give us help, Father, in that wonderful freedom to determine to rejoice if Christ is magnified. No matter what it means for me personally. No matter if it seems like the circumstances aren't working out the way that I thought they should. Even to have Christ be magnified. That there be this liberty of going forward with God, however God arranges. So give encouragement to each one of my brothers here. Pray that you'd bless our love for one another this day as we spend a few hours together. Pray that there'd be lasting benefit in our fellowship with one another as well. We pray in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.